If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Getting really close to the end of this series where we're talking about the names of Christ, the names of the Lord. And this name, I hate to say there's certain things in the Bible that are my favorite, okay? But there are. I mean, you guys know what my favorite chapter is, right? I mean, yeah, I have a favorite book. I have a very, account and person in the Bible. I have favorite passages that I like. All of these things, I have these favorites. And if I had to choose one of the names that I would say is one of my favorites about Christ, is the name Wonderful. And when you take a look here in Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to see here in verse 6, this is a messianic prophecy talking about Jesus Christ. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Praise the Lord for that. and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We've talked about all of those except for the one called Wonderful, the very first one. And this is what we're going to look at this morning. And I just want our minds to just think about this for a moment. When we start thinking about how the Lord created us, he created us to be inquisitive creatures. We like to know things. We like to learn things. Well, you should, at least. Sometimes we like to learn things that we want to learn. And when I think about what that means, I realize that God has put in us to have a wonderment about things in this world. There are wonders in this world that are just beyond my comprehension. There are wonders in the universe that are beyond my comprehension. The things that these satellites and images that come back and all of, and I understand how they use color to produce. I don't care. They're beautiful. Yeah. I look at them and I look at them in wonder and awe. And I dare say that a lot of what we see in Christianity today has lost the wonder and awe of who Christ is. To just sit there and think about him and what that means. And that's what we're going to endeavor to do this morning. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can be here to this morning, Lord. And I just pray that all of us would have that wonderment about you. That, Lord, we would have that heart and that mind, Lord, that humbly approaches you, understanding that we're never going to comprehend it in this life. We're never going to comprehend the fullness of who you are and what you have done until we are on the other side. And Lord, I just pray that as we even attempt to do this, which you've asked us to do and you've called us to do, that Lord, we find that wonderment in you and your word, and that we would just have that desire, Lord, to learn more and know more about you. That Lord, I just pray that our hearts would have that desire that is pricked that by your Spirit, that we would just think and meditate constantly upon you. And Lord, I thank you so much for those that are here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we would please you with all that we say and do, Lord, that we endeavor to worship you as the God of who you are. And that, Lord, we would just have that contentment, Lord, in peace, knowing what we can know about you. And I thank you again for all that you have done for us, above all the salvation that we have through you, the shed blood and your resurrection, Lord, that even makes all of this possible. And I ask and pray all of it in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we think about this name, and it's interesting that this is the first in the list. And again, when you start thinking about the way that the Lord puts lists together, he doesn't just throw them in haphazardly. Sometimes he doesn't even do it alphabetically. He just, you know, puts them in there. And when you think about the very first one that we find in regards to this name of Wonderful, about who he is, he just came off telling us that he was going to have, you know, the government upon his shoulders, which I think all of us would readily agree is what we need. I don't care what country you're in. That's the government that we need. We need Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. But, you know, we think about all of this and what that means and what that talks about his reign and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And though just to think about that and wonder just makes my mind, sometimes it just short circuits. I mean, just to think about the millennial reign, I'm not even talking about heaven. That is almost beyond my comprehension. But I'm just talking about a millennial reign. Could you imagine that? Here we are, if you're saved, born again, child of God, you will at that time have a glorified body without sin, without pain, without any of that. I'm looking forward to it. I know there's quite a few people here. We're just talking about it. We're looking forward to it. But I will say this. One of the key things is just think about a government that is run by Jesus Christ. Just think about a world where the curse has been lifted for a moment. Now, obviously, sin will still be here because of the judgment that we see in the millennial reign and understanding what the millennial reign is. But we see all of that. And just to think about how that's going to work in the passages of Scripture that we see with all of that, how it's going to be a totally different world than what we're used to. I mean, just even thinking about this world that we're in right now, the curse is mind-blowing when we start thinking about things. I mean, you start thinking about, just taking an example, a tree, and then you start thinking about, you know, how a tree works and how the tree takes up nutrients and how the tree does all of these things and how you get down to all the, again, kind of a microscopic level. You start thinking about the cells and you start thinking about what makes up the cells and what makes up those atoms and what makes up this and what makes up that. And it just, you get to these point of, well, what about the subatomic particles? What makes up the subatomic particles? What holds them together? And you start like, you can't even begin to fathom it. And we see all of that in creation. And as the Lord tells us that that is all there so that we would recognize who God is, that we would see him in everything that is out there. And as a believer, we get that. I mean, that's why we have those little creation moments in the bulletins, to give us a wonderment about who God is. And when we think about this title and its meaning, it is extremely significant that we understand what it means about wonderful. I mean, to wonder means this, is to be excited by something new, unusual, strange, great, extraordinary, or not well understood, something that arrests our attention by its novelty, grandeur, or inexplicableness. When is the last time that we have had our mind captured by Jesus Christ just thinking about things that he has done for us? Yeah. I mean, you could start with salvation, right? Yeah. I mean, he saved sinners. How many of us here would attest to the fact that we were sinners? Yeah. Some probably still are. But you get what I'm saying? I understand that, yes, we're saints, but we still deal with sin. We haven't reached sinless perfection. We don't believe in that stuff. But you understand what I'm saying is just to realize how much God has forgiven of us. Amen. Have you ever stopped and wondered about that? And thought with amazement about those things? This is why this name to me is one of the greatest names. And again, this is my opinion, okay? I'm not ascribing anything to it. I'm just saying, in my mind's eye, I look at that name wonderful and I can say, yeah, I can wonder about Jesus Christ a lot. Have you ever even thought about the fact that he spoke things into existence? If you know anything about physics and about matter and all of all of those sciences, at some point in time, you're like, we're told matter can either be created or destroyed, unless you're God.
Right. Yep.
Meaning he operates outside of the laws that he even put in place for us as human beings, our boundaries. There are certain things that mankind can't do that man wants to do. You know, they're always talking about, speed of light travel and things of that nature. I don't think our human bodies can handle that. You ever seen what happens when they try to, you know, accelerate through a corner with G-force? You ever see one of those planes where they come, you know, through and they're doing these 5, 6, 7 G pulls and you're like, that's a, you can't, what happens? You pass out. You think about all of that and it just begins to be a wonder about what the Lord has done and what the Lord has made. Turn over to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15. You know, the Bible talks a lot about how Israel, as an example to us, forgot God, right? They forgot his works. And I think one of the key important things is, as that name Wonderful implies, is when's the last time we wondered about works? Exodus 15 is where we're going to look here in just a moment, but I want you to think about this. Exodus 15 happens right after the 10 plagues. Now that right there is a wonder in itself. Frogs, lice, flies, darkness, blood. I mean, you know, the list goes on, and then the angel of death. Or I should say the angel of the Lord. The Passover. You'd think after seeing 10 of those, you'd have a lot more fear of God, amen? I would have a tendency to think we do. I mean, if God can do all of those things, I mean, what else can he do? I mean, yeah, I understand the Egyptian magicians were keeping up with a certain point, and then after that, they couldn't. Right. Mm-hmm. But just to think about that for a moment, you would be like, well, that should inspire more fear. Well, they forgot it very short time as they got to the Red Sea. They start wailing and crying out to God and like, oh, we're all going to die. Moses, you brought us out here to die. And, you know, basically blaming God for their situation. You just saw what the Lord did. I mean, they're walking out with all the riches of Egypt. I mean, could you imagine that? Your neighbor comes over to your house. Get out. Well, I'm packing. No. You get out. And by the way, here's all my gold. Here's all my money. Here's all my everything. Here's everything. Get out now. And you're like, I wasn't expecting to pack that. I don't know how I'm going to fit that in the trunk of the car, but okay. Or the camel, I should say. But they plundered Egypt without lifting a sword. They come to the Red Sea. God's made all of these promises about what's going to happen. All of a sudden, everything changes. And then the Red Sea splits open. They walk across and they see the Egyptian army wiped out with water. And I mean, there's a lot of great imagery at that. There's a lot of great typology when you think about it. But that all happens right there. And here's Exodus 15. And take a look at what it says in verse 11. And it says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? We know there are false gods out there. There are gods that have some power, but not the power of God. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? When you think about that for a moment. Let's just go back to the plague with the darkness. Could you imagine if you tried to light a light and you were an Egyptian and nothing happens? You can feel the heat of the candle, the heat of the fire, but you cannot see it. Everything is dark. But you're an Israelite and you've got perfect light. Everything is fine. You can go about your day. Everything's great. Could you imagine just walking around? You got this little light spotlight following you the whole way. I wonder about all of that. And here they are. They've just seen all of these miracles that God has done. 12 in total when you think about it. And as we think about all of these things, the nation of Israel forgot those wonders. the wondrous works that he did. Go over to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, after the nation that saw all of that happen gets to the promised land, and they can't do anything because they're all afraid. And Joshua and Caleb are like, come on, guys. God's taken care of us this far. You don't think he's going to take care of us when he promised we'd go into the land and he told us this is what's going to happen? Well, they didn't trust God. They were fearful. And I dare say, and this is, again, I know it's supposition and I understand that, but I would suppose that Joshua and Caleb are sitting there having a conversation, and the 10 spies are just like, and they're like, oh, can you believe we're all going to die. And Joshua and Caleb are having a conversation like, oh, this is going to be cool. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. You see that strong city over there? I wonder how God's going to take care of that. I wonder how God's going to deal with these people. You see the size of those guys? Yeah, you and I, we can't deal with that. Well, I wonder how God's going to take care of that. When's the last time we thought about that exact same thought of, I wonder how God is going to do something. I wonder how Jesus Christ is going to work in my life. I wonder how Jesus Christ is going to reveal something from his word to me. I wonder how that is all going to work. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 22, he says this, and the Lord shows signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. He's like, you've seen all of this. And one of the key things about the Christian life is this, is that you have to get to a point of where you are circumspectly walking, noticing the works of God in your life and in the lives of other people so that you can say with wonder, I wonder how God's going to do this next. You know, our typical responses is something happens in our life and it's like, the wailing, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth. It's the end of the world. Our life as we know it is over. We need to get to a point in our time, in our life, where we take a look and we begin to realize, hey, the Lord is a wonder. I wonder what he's going to do with this. This is the worst thing I've ever gone through in my life. I wonder how God's going to use it. I wonder how the Lord's going to carry me through this. I wonder how Jesus Christ is going to reveal more of himself to me in these circumstances. Go over to the book of Job. I mean, here, Job. Job. Job goes through a lot. Job's life, I think most of us probably would have folded within the first chapter or two. When we start thinking about this in Job chapter 9. but one of the things that, you know, understanding Job had some issues. Job still struggled with certain things. Job still had some things that he was thinking about in his life that was like, hey, God, I would like to talk to you about this. But one thing that I want us to see here in Job chapter 9 and in verse 10, here's one of the things that Job says. When he's answering his friends, he says, talking about God, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, wonders without number. I'm going to point out my friend Bob because I like talking about the theory of relativity and quantum mechanics with Bob. Some of you are like, yeah, that sounds like loads of fun. You know, even as we could try to figure it out, I don't think we still fully comprehend all of it. I don't think Einstein did. Sir Isaac Newton readily said he didn't, and he was smarter than Einstein. So when we begin to think about all of this, when's the last time that we actually said, hey, look, I want to see how much I can find out? I've known Christians that they start thinking about something and they just go, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm done. I'm not even going to, I just, I'm just not even going to wonder about it. I'm never going to know. And then, okay, how about we have a desire to know? How about we have a desire to say, hey, I want to know more about it. I want to know where my limit is in finding out. And then wonder about what is beyond that. And wonder about what God has done. You know, when we start talking about this, what we're talking about is this idea and concept of meditation. Now, you talk about meditation in this world. People have, you know, you talk about it in Baptist circles, and all of a sudden they start looking at you kind of like, okay, you're a weird New Agey kind of guy, aren't you? No, I'm not. I'm using biblical terms. Try reading your Bible. It actually says that. Meditation is a key thing in the Christian life. You're supposed to meditate upon the Word of God. You're supposed to meditate upon Him. You're supposed to meditate upon His works. And part of the meditation part is actually entering into that concept of saying, hey, I wonder about all of this. I wonder about my Savior. I mean, obviously, there are things that are past finding out. Job acknowledges this. And to a degree, he's also acknowledging, I don't know if I'm ever going to find out why all this is going on. But I would still like to have a conversation with God about it. Take a look at what he says in Job chapter 42. If you know anything about the book of Job, as you get to chapter 42, there's been a few questions that the Lord has posed to Job, over 70 that he's posed to Job, asking, okay, who are you, Job? Here you are postulating about all these things, pontificating, if you will. Let's think about this for a moment, Job. Who are you in compared to who God is? And Job's answer that he has here in verse 1, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered that I understand not. Things too wonderful for me. I skipped verse 2. I'm sorry, partially verse 2. But you begin to see here where he's saying there's things that he didn't know that the Lord just simply asked a question about. Like, when's the last time you thought about that, Job? When's the last time you thought about creation? When's the last time that you looked up at the stars at night and looked at all of them and say, why did God put that star there? Why did He make it so it looks like there's drawings in the sky? Why God? And it's even more fantastic when you get outside of light pollution. I remember one of the first times that I was out at night and I looked up at the stars. There was no light around us at all. And I looked up at the stars and saw what you could actually see of the Milky Way and realized we don't even see a fraction of what is out there. If you just like moved out of the city and went out into the middle of nowhere and looked up at the sky. Go somewhere in the middle of, you know, Montana or wherever, where there's no houses for 100 miles. Yeah. No people. You go out there and look up at the sky and you would see the wonders that are out there. And wonder, why did you do that, God? Lord, did you make that for me so that I can see you? I mean, when we start thinking about all of that we've talked about of him as the creator and the mighty God and all of the counselor that he gives and everything that is in his word. I mean, here's Job after he's just had an education by God, who just simply asked questions, probing Job's mind. And that's why God asks questions. Now, to the Lord, they were all rhetorical. He knew Job wasn't there. Why? Because he made Job. Were you there when I created? Were you there when I made the foundations there? Were you? I mean, no, obviously not, Job. But what he's doing is he's saying, Job, I want you to wonder about this. And Job, this is exactly what Job says. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. We begin to think about it, and here he is. He speaks of this, and in all of his problems, what was Job thinking about? Job? When you go through something, what do you think about? I think about Ken Stewart. And what is God teaching us with the book of Job? Take a moment, stop thinking about yourself, and start thinking about God. Wonder about him. Meditate about him. I mean, there's so much that you could wonder on. Go to Psalms, the book of Psalms, and go to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, and in verse 5, the psalmist says, well, let's back up to verse 4, because this is where a lot of the context comes in. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He's saying there's certain things that you need to turn to, and God is it. But we go to verse 5, and he says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How many times do you think about God during the day? Now look, I'm not. We're teaching. We're going to try to avoid conviction this morning, right? I mean, let's just think about that for a moment. What are we often thinking about during the day? Yeah, me, myself, and I. Sometimes we think about other people. Sometimes we think about the other drivers on I-5. Sometimes we think about our coworkers, and we wonder about their intelligence quotient. We think about those things, amen? God, it just said there that God thinks about us so much that it can't be numbered. Now, I want you to make that personal for a moment. You. And you know you. Or you think you know you. But you really don't know you. God knows you. But he thinks about you. You can't even begin to number that. Now, if I was to have a vote in here of on a scale of, let's give it a reasonable scale, of 0 to 100, what do we think our significance is in the world? Yeah, start moving backwards. We get negative numbers in there. I mean, we like to think of ourselves as significant, right? Because we're the main character in our story, right? Isn't that what they teach you on social media? Yeah. You're the main character of your life. No, the main character of my life is Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he gave me this life to begin with. That's right. And he saved my soul, and he gave me a new life that I have in him. And the entirety of my existence is to orbit and be him. Amen? So right there. But he thinks about us. And the psalmist is sitting there, I can't even begin to wonder about that. He's like, thy wonderful works which thou hast done. How much has he done for you? And if you say, Lord, I haven't done anything for me, come see me afterwards. Let's have a conversation about salvation. Let's have a conversation about who you are and how God is holding you together, specifically Jesus Christ. Are you breathing air this morning? Do you ever wonder about God's mercy? Take a look at Psalms chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107. In Psalm chapter 107, he repeats this in verse 8 and verse 15 and verse 21. But the psalmist goes through and starts talking about all the things that he's done and all of what the Lord has all of his works. And he says in verse 8, this statement that he repeats, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Have you ever wondered why certain things happen to certain people? I mean, a lot of times we ask ourselves, why did this happen to me? A lot of times it's because of our own, you know, Galatians 6 mentality of be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Good or bad, amen? But you think about that for a moment, you wonder why, well, why is that going on with that guy over there? You ever wonder about that and say, I wonder how the Lord is going to use that to show him salvation? I wonder how the Lord is going to use that to reveal him in his life. I wonder. And the psalmist says, oh, that men would do that. Oh, that men would sit there and think about the wonderful works that he's done towards us. You know, our nation, our world in general would be very different if they just considered God in that equation. Yeah. Turn over to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And in verse 129, and we know what the Psalm 119 is all about. It's all about the Word of God, amen? And we know that he says here, thy testimonies, and when we're talking about the testimonies of the Lord, we're talking about his Word, we're talking about what he can testify of, what is truth, and what he is proclaiming as truth. That's what testimony is. And we see, thy testimonies are wonderful. You ever wonder about the Bible? I do. Like, I wonder why God chose that word. I wonder why God put that list that way. I wonder about this pattern. So I say, tell you, look for patterns in Scripture. Once you start looking for patterns in Scripture, the Word of God will just go. I found there's this new Bible that's come out, and it's like a multi-volume set where all of it is color-coded and organized in such a way that you can actually see the lists, and it organizes it instead of just kind of putting it in like a format on the page. It is so cool. But I don't have $310 to spend on that. It's on sale, by the way. But you understand what I say. It is so fantastic. It is amazing because he color codes dates and people and times and what they say and breaks it out and things like that. I was talking with Bob about it. It was like, that would make Song of Solomon a little easier to understand. But you get what I'm saying about all of that. Is have you ever thought about the Bible? And here's what he's saying. Thy testimonies are wonderful. What does he say? The direct result of when you think about them and you wonder about them, therefore my soul doth keep them. Obedience. The reason people struggle with obedience to Jesus Christ and obedience to our Lord and Savior is because we don't wonder enough about what he has said. And when we keep that wonderment in our minds and in our hearts what we desire, we're going to see something very different. We're going to see a different response in our life to the will of God. Just having that wonderment and understanding that He is wonderful to wonder about. Go over to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. You know, just kind of go to, for the context of it, look at verse 1. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. He knows you. He knows you better than you do. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Have you ever had a thought in your mind that you go, I don't even understand why I'm thinking about that?
No. Yeah.
The random train of the thought that comes through? Sometimes like Amtrak. Sometimes it's like a slow, long freight train where you sit there and think and ponder on it. And then you're like, why was I thinking about that? And then you don't understand why. But God does. And He says here in verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. The psalmist is saying, God, You know me. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. He knows what our tongue says every single moment, what we mutter under our breath, and even the tongue that is in our heart. Because we say things in our tongue inside of ourselves, in our soul, don't we? You all talk to yourselves, right? They call that mental disease. But it's a normal thing according to Scripture, amen? So what do we see here as we move down here a little bit further? He says in verse 5, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. And here he says that when you just sit there and think about that and meditate on those first five verses, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to. He's like, I could sit there and wonder about this all day. I don't think I'm ever going to get to that point. But the thing is he doesn't stop wondering about it. He doesn't turn that off. And when we have a desire and a wonder about who our Lord and Savior is, it demonstrates the principle of what we're talking about. It's the reverence of the Lord and a constant wondering of who He is and His Word in our life. We don't regard God enough. Just to even wonder about the name Wonderful. I like to know stuff. There are things that I struggle with. I'm sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus a lot today, Bob. Bob comes up to me and he walks and he kind of chuckles and laughs, and he was talking about how they were discussing some things of music about a 1/32nd note, and then a 1/16th note, and he looks at me and chuckles because he knows I have absolutely no idea what he just said. I have no idea. I don't even know what that means. And I'm like, well, I could sit there and talk to you about successors and assignment, indemnification, limitations of liability, if you would like. I could talk about the frozen cohort and the thawed cohort, amen? Some of you are like, what does that even mean? Ask Dan. Yeah, I could... But, you know, we're all designed to wonder. And we're all designed to wonder about God. And I'll say this. Even scientists know this. Those that have studied the brain and its activity and what it does, they always talk about this kind of, and they say it almost as if it's a pseudoscience because here's the thing. They don't want to admit they just saw God.
Yeah.
And they come, but yet enough, they call it the God center of the brain. And they're like, we don't understand it. Well, if you read the scripture, you probably would, but okay. But you're designed to think about God. Why? Because you were designed to have a relationship with God. The voice of God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. Amen? Close, personal, one-on-one relationship was what we were designed to have with Jesus Christ. And you can't do that without salvation because our sin stands in the way. Amen? Which is why we need salvation. Which is why we need the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Which is why we need the power of His resurrection. Have we ever stopped to think and say, well, that is a wonderful thing for me to think about? It's not here. Turn to Philippians. Philippians will set you straight. You go to Philippians and you turn to Philippians chapter 4. You know where I'm going, right? What'd you think about? That's our problem, folks. Romans 12. Philippians chapter 4. And what does he say here? He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Have you wondered about what is true? Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You just think on those right there, and you'll have enough to occupy your mind for eons. If you wonder about it, the way that we're supposed to wonder, because everything you see in there, by the way, is Jesus Christ. Every last one of them. Was he true? He said he is the truth. Was he honest? He didn't lie. Was he just? Absolutely. He's going to issue just judgment and does. Was he pure? Absolutely. Was he lovely? Oh, yeah. Was he of a good report? Absolutely. Was there virtue in him? We know that from Scripture. Was there any praise for him? Absolutely. You realize he just said, I want you to think more about Jesus. Turn over the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. The things that we see in the Old Testament, you know, obviously line up with things that we just... And a segue there of the things that are in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 22. Here's Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost, and he's having this sermon. And one of the things he points out to these, to the Jews that were there listening to him, he says, "You men of Israel," in verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. As you know, as you yourselves also know." You know, it talks about that over there in the book of Luke. And turn to Luke here. Let's take a look at those real quick. Luke chapter 9. I just want to point this out. Peter knew because Peter also wondered himself. Luke chapter 9, verse 43, talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, after he cast out this devil, and it says, "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples." Here they are, they're wondering about, and he takes that moment to say, here, let me give you a little bit more to wonder about. Don't you like how he does that? You start wondering about something, and then the Lord says, oh, you like that? Here, chew on that for a while. And you're like, huh? I was just thinking about the other thing. And he's like, they're related. But he says they wondered. They were wondering by what just happened in front of them. Take a look at what happens in chapter 11. Chapter 11 and in verse 14. And it says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Like, wait a second. How did he do that? You know, there was many things that these individuals, these Pharisees had tried to do, that the nation was plagued with. And I will tell you this, what it shows is that religious tradition will never give you wonderment. It will trap your mind in bondage. You should wonder about God. You should be wondering about the things that He did. And they're sitting there saying, how in the world? How? He couldn't speak. Now He's speaking. Wonder. Take a look at chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 25. And here they are, you know, on this boat. They're crying out, Master, Master, we perish. He rebukes the wind and the water. Everything goes through this nice calm. And He said unto them, where is your faith? That's a good question, isn't it? Where is your faith? What is it in? Who is it in? Right? And it says, and they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. You know, your wonderment is tied to your faith. Your wonderment is tied to your faith. You know, meditating on Jesus, actually thinking and contemplating what wonders He's done in His Word, in His works. I mean, that is one of the key important parts about knowing and growing in the knowledge of Him daily. And we're called to do that. The Bible says, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And the only way you're going to grow is to go, I wonder what God has for me today. I wonder what He has in His Word today. I wonder how He's going to guide me today. I wonder what He wants me to think about today. We just start that contemplation, that meditation in our life. We are going to have an exponential growth in our life that you will even wonder about that. Amen? Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the time. And Lord, I thank You so much that You are wonderful. I thank You for Your wonderful Word. I thank You about Your wonderful works. And Lord, I pray that we would just have that contemplation, that we would have that meditation, Lord, where we just wonder about You. And that wonderment just draws us nearer to You, to know more of You, more about You, who You are, Your will for our lives. Thank You again, Lord, for this time. And I pray, Lord, that You'd continue to meet with us in the 11 o'clock hour. And all of this I do ask in Your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.